Okay, we'll talk today a little bit about Nichama Velim. The Rambam writes at the beginning of Perek Yudalit of Hilchos Avel, Mitzvah Saseh Shel Dervaim Levakar Cholim L'Nam Velim, and it goes on, it's Asamezach Nafas Kala, Yes Orachim. So the Rambam holds that Bikar Cholim and Nichama Velim are Mitzvah Saseh Dervaim, Mitzvah Dervaim. And the Rabban, in his Sasagas to Sefer Mitzvah Shorash Aleph, quotes the Bahag, who include Nichum Avelim and Bikur Cholim in the Min HaMitzvahs Raista. And the Rabban explains within the Bahag that it's a subsidiary of Elach the Bedrach. Copy? Anyone else? Okay, let me move. Just give me a second, and we'll let's see if that makes it better. Okay, so again, the Ramban in his Hasagas to Sefer Mitzvos Shorash Aleph, of course, in the Bahag, who included Nichama Velim as a mitzvah deraisa, and that's included as a subsidiary of the Alachta Bidrachav, Mahu Af Ata, the various examples the Gemara has in Sota and Af Yudalid, that Nichama Velim and Bikur Cholim are examples of following the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch. But be that as it may, whether it's a mitzvah deraisa, whether it's a mitzvah derabbana, the Mechaber writes in the beginning of Simen Shin Ayin Vav. Ein HaMenachemim Rasha'im Liftavach HaShi Yiftach Avol Tchila. The Menachemim are not allowed to begin expressing their Tanchumin until the Avel begins himself, until the Avel opens up and says something first. That's based on Gemara on Kalches and Beis, based on the Psukim in Eov that indicate that Eov's Chaverim did not respond, did not reflect, did not express their tanchumen before until Eov said something himself. What is the rationale for this? So the Levush writes, the later Achon quote from Levush, Levush writes, Tama de Mistaber, Hu Klomar, Shumaske Laharos Tsaro, Shemitzar Meod Al Meso, that it's appropriate, it makes sense, that the Avil should be the first one to express the Tsar that he's feeling about the Petira. And then the Menachemim pipe up, chime in, and express their tanchumen. But you need to establish the baseline before expressing tanchumen. You have to establish that the Avil is indeed in Tsar, the Avil is indeed in need of tanchumen before providing that tanchumen. That's what Levush explains this din, that the Menachemim are supposed to wait for the signal from the Avil before offering their Tanchumen. Aruch HaShulchan says a little bit differently that Nicham Avelim is a form of Tziduk HaDin, and therefore it's appropriate for the Avel to lead in the Tziduk HaDin, to express the Tziduk HaDin first, and then for the Menachemim to follow up afterwards, taking their cue from the Avel. Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Yud Zayin Simen Mem He Os Dalet, Chelek Mem Zayin Simen Mem He Os Dalet, wonders or is a little bit bothered that he noticed many people were not careful about this halacha, that in many situations of Nicham Avelim, the Avil does not speak first, and the Menachem speak first. Isn't that against this Gemara, this din in Shulchan Aruch? So first, it's Tzitz Eliezer suggests that if you follow the reasoning of the Levush, the whole reason for this din, the way the Levush expresses it, is you need to first establish as a baseline that the Avil is indeed Mistar on the Petira. But if you're in a situation where you come to Menachem Avel and the Avel is so consumed by the Tsar that he's incapable or unable or unwilling to express anything, so you don't need the signal that he's Mistar. It's abundantly clear from the context that he's Mistar. And then there's no restriction on the Menachemim opening up and expressing themselves even without the initial expression of the Avel. And then the Tzitz Eliezer suggests something else, that maybe all you need is an initial expression on the part of the Avil once. As long as the Avil is Pasech at some point, so he already indicates that he's ready to be Mekabel Tanchumen, that Tanchumen are appropriate. So then, as long as he's Paseach once, it doesn't mean he has to be Paseach with every oval that walks, every Menachem that walks into the room. As long as he's Paseach once, it's Eliezer sounds like as long as, even if he's Paseach in the morning, and Menachem are coming later in the afternoon, but as long as he was Paseach once, then there's no requirement to be Paseach continually every time there are new Menachem. And he notes, he quotes from the Pe'er Hador, the multi-volume biography of the Chazon Ish, that when the Chazon Ish would be Menachem Avel, if he saw that the Avel was not being Paseach, then he would be Paseach himself when he noticed that it was difficult for the Avel to express himself. So apparently, Maisera, the Chazon Ish didn't think that this was an absolute din. As Sitzel Yosef says, Zilbas Taima, it's for the benefit or for the Avel to set the tone. And if the Avil doesn't do it, so then that doesn't preclude the Menachemim from speaking up as well. Divrei Sofer writes something similar on his own. He doesn't go to Tzitz Eliezer. Divrei Sofer and Sivkat and Beis writes something similar on his own. He leaves as a Tzarachion that the Minig Olam is not, he notices is not to be makbid about this so much, but that is his explanation as to why the Minig Olam is not to be so careful about it. By the Shulchan suggests along these lines that Tzitz Eliezer, Sivkat and Hay, that even if, as long as the Avil is Paseach once, the whole Shiva, he's Paseach the first day, so then there's no requirement maybe to be Paseach at all anytime after that. Rabbi Karp in the Mishmeres Machos writes that his understanding of the Chazon Ish that we just quoted, that Tzitz Eliezer quoted from the Pe'er Hador, was the Chazon Ish felt that as long as someone's Paseach once, so then the Avil's Paseach once, and there's no need for any follow-up subsequent to that. And Rabbi Karp quotes B'Shem Shmuel Salant, that Shmuel Salant, if he was in a Beis Avel and no one was talking, so he would say, the halacha is that the Menachem are not allowed to be Paseach until the Avil's Paseach Tchila. And it sounds like then that's a kiyum in this halacha, even if the Avil is not Paseach Tchila, but you make the point the Avil is supposed to be Paseach Tchila, then it's Kiyilu the Avil is Paseach Tchila, something along those lines. And that was the Anhaga of Rav Shmuel Salant. In the Sefer Tziyunei Halacha, they quote that when Rav Yashiv was sitting Shiva for his Rebbetzin, Rav Yashiv said almost nothing during the entire week of Shiva, that he was very makbid on the Hanuk Dom element, literally, that he spoke very little. But he writes that when Rav Osner came to Menachem Avil, the Baal Shevet HaLevi, the Rav Osner asked Rav Yashiv, what's shot in this halacha of Ein Menachem Im Rashan Liftorach Ad Sheyiftach HaAvil Tchila? And Rav Yashiv said, it's not, there's no Isser, it's not a din, it's advice, it's a hadracha. It's a good advice for the Menachemim. The Menachemim, the way he quotes Rav Yashiv expressing it, the Menachemim have to be attuned to what the emotions of the Avil are. So you have to hear first from the Avel, what pain is he experiencing? What element of the Ptir, of the Nifter, is making the biggest Rosham on him? And then if you know what the Avelus is on, so then you know how to be a Menachem appropriately and to respond. But because from Avayashim, that this is basically a Hadracha, not a Din, and therefore in situations where the Avel is not going to be Paseach, or it's not reasonable to expect that of the Avel, so then there's no restriction on the other Menachemim responding anyway or expressing their Tanchumim. Then the Mechaber writes, continuing there in Sif Aleph, Kevan Shanana Ha'avel Barosho, the Inyan Shanira Shapotra Samenachemim, Einam Rosham Leishavetzov. So once the Avel nods his head as if to say that he's had enough, the Menachemim should leave, then the Menachemim should leave. They shouldn't overstay their welcome. As the Aruch HaShulchan explains this halacha, that the Avel is not going to, it's not Derech Eretz for the Avel to say explicitly time to go. So it's a simon. If he nods his head, so that's a simon. People should get the hint that it's time to leave. I think in the biography, Rabbi Meller's biography, the Brisker Rav, the Four Vine biography, he quotes that someone who once came to the Brisker Rav to be Mekayim the Bikur Cholim, and he overstayed his welcome, and the Brisker Rav didn't want to see him, so the Brisker Rav said, Eilud Ramesh Eilam Shir, that there's no Shir, you just you'll be Mekayim in a second and in time to leave. So if the Nechem Avelim, the Avil says, time to leave, he's had enough, people should get the hint, and that's what it means by Kevin She Nien Arosha. In the Sefer Chaim Rebrachel Mishmer Shalom, Chaim Rebrachel Mishmer Shalom is a alphabetically arranged compendium of Marmer Kamas and Hilchos Avelis that is printed in the back of the old heavy Shulchan Aruch. I don't think I've ever heard anyone quote it other than Rosh Echter. But it's a relatively recent work from little over 100 years ago, the beginning of the 20th century. He quotes a lot of Marmer Kamas, who's later Achronim, through the Marsham, the Nativ. There's a Rav Sholem Shachna Cherniak. The Rav Shachter quotes that Rav Gifter told his children that if they ever have a Shaila Hilchos Avelis, they should follow what it says in the Chaim Brachel Mishmer Shalom. And I think he quotes that Rav Gifter, when he turned 50, wrote at Tzava, and his children are wondering why is he writing at Tzava at the age of 50. And he explained that it's because that's what it says in the Chaim Brachel Mishmer Shalom, that that's when you're supposed to write at Tzava. That's the Chaim Brachel Mishmer Shalom. I don't know if anyone has it's in the old this heavy old Shulchan Aruch. I don't think they printed in the back of any of the new ones. Anyone have any of Shulchan Aruch? Probably not.
I don't see it in mine.
I don't think it's so popular anymore, but it's quoted every now and then. So it's a lot of Marmer Kamos, and it's arranged like a Steich Hametz style, arranged alphabetically, encyclopedia style. Anyway, so the Chaim Brachel Mishmer Shalom in Oth Nun, Nun for Nichum Avelim, Oth Yud Beis. So he quotes from Shlomo Kluger and Tuv Tam Adas that a person should not be Menachem Avelim until day 3, because Chazal say Gimel Yamim Lebechi, and Mixus Yom Kukulu on day 3. So you shouldn't be Menachem Avelim on the day that the Avelim come back and start singing Shiva. You shouldn't be Menachem Avelim on day 2, and you should only start being Menachem Avelim in the middle of day 3 after Mixus Yom Kukulu on day 3. And he quotes in the Sefer Dasim Zima. I don't know anything about the Daas HaMezima other than it's a grandson of the Nesivas. He quotes in the Sefer Daas HaMezima, quoting a Medrash Rabban Parshas Mitzora, that it says, until Gimel Yamim is Tokva Shel Avel, because the Medrash says that the Tzuras HaPanim is still Nicker, that after Nes passes away, the Tzuras HaPanim is still Nicker until day 3, and therefore it's not appropriate to extend, and an Avel is not going to be Mekabel Tanchumin until day 3, because it's almost an extension of Mesa Mutalafana. There's no Tanchumin, there's Mesa Mutalafana before Kfura. And as an extension of that, there's no real Tanchumin during the first 3 days or up to day 3 of Avelis. Rabbi Karp writes on page Tafresh Kaf that this is not so Negei, he says nowadays, because he says a little bit differently. Not the absolute Gimel Yamim, whatever this Tzuras Panim Nicker is. He says he thinks the reason that there was such a halacha, was such a minhag, is that until day 3, the tsar was so great for an avel that an avel couldn't express himself. And the din is that Ein Menachem Mashayim Lenachem Ad Sheyiftach Avel Chila, and the avel was incapable of being Paseach Chila until day 3. So then it wasn't shaykh to be Menachem Avel. But nowadays, people don't have that kind of emotional reaction. People have no problem talking even on day 1. People talk about things they shouldn't be talking about in Beis Avel. People talk more than they need to. So then he doesn't think the halach is really relevant to begin with. If the Avelim are going to talk anyway, there's no such chashash. And there's no kapeid the not to be Menachem Avel during the first 3 days. He quotes, Rabbi Karb quotes, that was a minhag of the Chazon Ish and the Stiplers quoted in the Orchos Rabbeinu. And that was the minhag of Rav Yashiv to be Menachem Avelim during the first 3 days. And Adarabba, the fact that there is such a resonance of, or such a notion that people have of not being Menachem Avelim during the first 3 days, during the first 2 days plus, so few people come to be Menachem during that time. and the Avelim are more zakuk for Tanchumin during the time of less traffic. So Rav Yashiv, he quotes his feeling it was more appropriate to be Menachem Avelim during the first 3 days Dafka, if that's going to fulfill the needs of the Avelim by providing the Nichum at a time that fewer people are being Menachem. I remember when my grandfather passed away, so Rabbi Fulda Zorchon Levacha came, he was at the Levaya, and he came to Menachem Avel an hour after Levaya. As they said, he knows almost no one comes the first day, and it's not right to leave the Avelim alone, so he made it his business to come be Menachem Avel right away on day one. So if you have such a minhag, there is such a minhag, but it seems like there isn't such a kapeda about that restriction. Rabbi Karp is Mitzayan, Rabbi Mitzayan de Blisky's farm as well, the Drosh Darash, who also notes that it's appropriate, unless you have a strong minhag otherwise, to dafka be Menachem Avelim during the first 3 days when there are fewer people expressing their tanchumin or coming to be a Menachem Avel. So if you don't have such a minhag, he says, then that's commendable. He has a few pages in the end of that sefer, which are hadrachos for Rabbanim. So this is in his list of instructions for Rabbanim, which is an interesting read if you want to take a look. It's on Osir Chachma, Drosh Darash, the very last few pages of the volume. So he, one of his hadrachos for Rabbanim is, unless you have such a minhag of not being Menachem Avelim during the first 3 days, so then it's usually a good idea to be Menachem Dafka during the first 3 days. Okay. The Chavetz Chaim writes in Avas Chesed, Chelek Gimel, the end of Perek Hei, Chelek Gimel, the end of Perek Hei in Avas Chesed, that the Minog, the Yesod of Nichem Avelim is to be Menachem from the Tzar of an Avel. He says the Minog is that the Nusach of Nichem Avelim is Hamakam Yenachem Eschem Besach Shar Aveli Tziv Yerushalayim. And he says that, technically speaking, you're Yotzei Nichem Avelim by simply reciting that formula. But it's better if you're able to say something more personal, to say something that's going to have an impact to impact on the Avel, to somehow mitigate Asar in any way that you can through any kind of speech that you can. So that's the Iker Nichem, meaning the formula of Amalki Menachem is a minimum. That's kind of pro forma, and that's a key of Nichem Avelim, but it's better to express Nichem Avelim more personally and to say something that's going to resonate with the Avelim. Rabbi Karr points out, page Tafresh Cafe, that the Nusach, the popular Nusach that we use of Amalki Menachem Eschem, etc., does not appear in the Gemara, does not appear in the Rishonim, and the earliest mention seems to be in the Prisha. There are slightly different versions among the Achronim. The Shvus Yaakov has a lashon of Yinachem Eschem. That's what we have, Amalkam Yinachem Eschem. In the Prisha, it says Amalkam Yinachem Cha, and singular. And that's what the Magen Avraham has in Siman Reish Pei Zayin. That's the Siman about Avelus on Shabbos. Mishabur, there's Sivkat and Gimel. They have the Nusak of Yinachem Cha. So is it Yinachem Eschem? Is it Yinachem Cha? So Rabbi Karp says, Mistama, they're both right, and it depends on if you're addressing a rabbim or addressing a yachid. If you're addressing a yachid, it should be Yinachem Cha, and if you're addressing a rabbim, it should be Yinachem Eschem. And if that's the case, he leaves as a tzarachian a minhag olam, that it seems common practice is to say Eschem, even if you're addressing a yachid. If there's only one avel, so do you say Amalki Minachem Escha, Amalki Minachem Cha, or do you say Amalki Minachem Eschem? So Rabbi Karp notes, as a tzarachian, says he would assume that the more correct thing would be to address a yachid with lashon yachid, but common practice is to address even a yachid b'lashon rabbin. Dibrei Sofrim also writes that he thinks Dibrei Sofrim in the Emek Davar Sifkatan Nuntes, so he thinks that the more correct practice is to address a yachid b'lashon yachid, and that's what the Yaivitz writes in the Siddur as well. But he suggests, and maybe according to the Rambam famously assumes that Nichem Avelim is chesed in Mechayim v'Memesim. That's why Nichem Avelim takes precedence over Bikur Cholim. because Bikur Cholam is only chasidim chai, and Nicham Avelim is chasidim chai b'memes. So if that's correct, then Nicham Avelim is chasidim chai b'memes, so maybe Lashon Eschem is shayach even if you're Menachem Yachid, because the Eschem is going both on you, on the Avel, and going on the Nifter. So that's his suggestion, that maybe Eschem makes sense, even if you're addressing a Yachid. That's what Rabbi Karp quotes, V'shem Rav Elyashiv and the Ger Rebbe, that Dafka say Eschem, even if you're addressing a Yachid. But he notes that Rav Elyashiv himself, when he was Menachem and Avel, after Shiva, Tok Shiva, if he was Menachem and Yachid, he would say Amakam Yenachem Eschem. But La'achar Shiva, if he was Menachem and Yachid, then he would say Amakam Yenachem Oscha. Okay. What's the reference? Yeah, Moshe.
Just based on what we're saying from the Avos Chesed, what's Pshat HaMinhag Olam that everyone says it when they're leaving? If it's like the Lechachila thing, you should say it before, and if it's anything else, you add on to it.
So maybe it's when you're leaving, in case you weren't, in case you didn't express your tanchumin adequately, so then you're covering yourself. At least you'll have said that nusach. Maybe.
Maybe other Abba, because of the Avos Chesed, like if the ikar is really just the nichum, like saying something nice, then like you did that. I'm like, oh, like that's the ikar. Isn't the point?
Maybe. Okay. What's the reason for the nusach of Hamakam Yenachem and the reference to Hamakam? So Rabbi Karp suggests on page Tafresh Kavav, the Mishnah Midos in Perek Beis tells us that the Avelim would enter the Beis HaMikdash through the Shar Avelim, and that way people would recognize who's an Avel and express their Tanchumin, and they would use the Lashon of Ashochin B'Bayis Hazeh Yenachemcha, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shochin B'Bayis Hazeh, should provide Tanchumin for you, the Avel. So the Iker Nechama emanated from the Makam of Mikdash. The Iker Nechama emanated from the Makam of Ashras Hashchina. So then Rabbi Karp suggests that maybe that's a reference to Makam. Makam Yenachem is in the Makam Hashem Beis HaMikdash. Vayikach Me'evnei HaMakom, because the Iker Tanchumen emanates from the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Fulda Zichrono Livracha, often quoted from the Rav, I heard this from him a number of times, that the Rav explained the resolution of Hamakam Yenachem Oschar Eschem, because the real Tanchumen is that if a child is able to fill the place of his parent, so if he fills the Makam of his parent, is able to do what his parent did, to fill his place, so that's a real Tanchumen, if you're able to step up and fill the shoes of your parent. The Tziyunei Halacha, so Makam, not a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu per se, but a reference to filling the place of the Nifter. The Tziyunei Halacha question of Elyashiv, different pshat, that nowadays it's hard for anyone to zero in on what the essence of the Nesar Nechama is in both directions. It's hard for an Avel to express adequately what the void is, and it's hard for a Menachem to know how to direct or what's the right thing to say to the Avel. So only Kadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly how to provide the right Tanchumen, and that's the reference to Hamakom. Rabbi Karp notes that many have the practice of adding to the formulaic of Hamakim Yinachem Eschem, Velosa Sifu Dava Od, or you shouldn't know any more tsar, or something along those lines. So that's together a practice. No such doesn't appear in classic sources. He quotes that that was a practice of Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld to use such a lashon, and that was a practice of Rav Yashiv. He says sometimes Rav Yashiv said in Yiddish, and then he quotes that the Stipel and the Biskarov only said a Malki Menachem and didn't add Losa Sifu Dava or anything of that sort.
Rav Yashiv said the whole thing in Yiddish, or just that part?
No, just that part. He said Malki Menachem Eschem in Hebrew, and then Losa Sifu Dava Od, or you shouldn't know any more Tzar in Yiddish. Rav Sturmbach discusses in Shuvas Van Hagos Chelak Hei Simen Shin Tes, Chelak Hei Simen Shin Tes, the propriety of answering Amen in response to Amakim Menachem. So is the Avil supposed to answer anything to Amakim? So Rav Sturmbach writes that he himself said Amen, and he heard as much B'Shem Rishol Mazalma to say Amen, and he heard that was the minig of the Temanim to say Amen. And he says, really, it should depend on whether the formula of Hamakim Menachem is a bracha. Is it a bakash? Is it a bracha? In which case, it would be appropriate to answer Amen. Or is it a simple expression of Tanchumen, and then it's not shak to say Amen? If someone's being Menachem, you don't say Amen to the Tanchumen. If it's a bracha, or if it's a bakash, then it would be appropriate to answer Amen. He says it could be it's both. It could be that even if the Menachem has Kavana to be Menachem, but if the Avel reacts to and receives that expression as being a bracha, so maybe there's aspects of both. He says, especially if you're going to say, Amalki Menachem Eschem Elosa Sifu Daba Od, so Elosa Sifu Daba Od is definitely a bracha. So the Amid's going on, could be going on Losa Sifu. Rabbi Karp says that Rabbi Yashiv did not say Amen, so that seems to be different practices whether it's appropriate to say Amen or not. There's a famous Shuvah Nigros Moshe about Nichum Avelim by telephone. Chelek Dalet Simen Mem Os Yud Aleph, Chelek Dalet Arachayim Simen Mem Os Yud Aleph. Is there a Kiyam of Nichum Avelim by telephone? So Moshe suggests that, as we noted a little bit from the Rambam, that Nichum Avelim has two elements. Nichum Avelim is for the benefit of the Avelim, and you need to address them emotionally to be Menachem them. And it also has an element of Tovas Ames. It's for the benefit of the nifter. So Rav Moshe thinks that as far as expressing the tanchumin for the chai, for the avel, so then that's shayach, even if it's better to do it in person, but a shayach to have a kiyum on some level by telephone. But he thinks that anything you're doing, Batavas HaMeis, that only makes sense in person. If you're in the makom where the mace was nifter, or in the makom where the Avelim are sitting Shiva, so he thinks that you don't gain anything as far as the doing something for the benefit of the mace. So if it's possible to do Menachem Avel in person, that's obviously better. Moshe says that's a Kiyam Bishle Musa. But you gain something by being Menachem by telephone. So if you're unable to go in person, so then you still do gain something by doing Nichum Avelim by telephone. We'll have to see to what extent Zoom Nichum Avelim retains some acceptance going forward. I would imagine that there's a malusa of Zoom over telephone on certain levels. So I don't think Rav Moshe would say that it's a full kiyum or whatever the consideration is of not achieving the element of Tavas Ames by not being in person. So probably not on Zoom either. But in terms of the quality of the nichum, it would seem that there is a higher quality of nichum by Zoom over telephone, even if it's not the same as being in person. Moshe.
What is the element of Tovas Ames? Like, how does it benefit the Ames by the Nachmina? Is it like a Kavod Ames thing?
It's a Kavod Ames thing. So that's how it seems to be expressed.
So then it won't be Mechalik by Zoom where other people are going to be on?
So I don't know if what you're saying, there's more Kavod Ames. It doesn't sound like the Kavod Ames is in numbers, meaning if you're the only Menachem present, there's one Avil and one Menachem, that's also Kavod Ames. It doesn't seem like it has anything to do with the number of Menachemim, but somehow you can only achieve, meaning the notion on some level of some presence of the Ames in the Makam of Ptira during the week of Shiva, the kind of quasi ruach hatumah that we discussed in the context of the minhag not taking things out of the Beis Hameis, if such a thing exists, or the makam of Ptira. So whatever that means, wherever that works, then maybe there's a certain in-person element that you only achieve that if you're in person. But it's hard to quantify exactly what these things mean or how it works. It is an element of Kavod Ames. What the in-person element is, it may be a little bit hard to define precisely. Rabbi Karp writes on page Taf Reish Mem that, you know, there may be a situation where calling up by telephone is going to make things more difficult. It's going to cause more tzar to the oval. So then maybe it's not a good idea to call someone up by telephone. You have to figure out if it's going to be Lato Ellis. Bader Shulchan writes something like that in Sif Katan Vav as well. There is a note in the Igros of Rav Huttner, Igros Pachad Yitzchak, on page Nun Vav. So he writes, he doesn't think there's any kiyum of Tanchumei Avelim by telephone. As he says, the model for Tanchumei Avelim, the model for Nichum Avelim, is the din of Shura, that right after the Kvura, the people present are Omeid B'Shura, and the Avel is Misnachim, they're walking through the Shura. And Rav Huttner suggests that the reason for such a Tzura of Nichum Avelim is that there has to be a certain kvias involved. That based on the Gemara in Samach Tes, that Avil is Mesa Barosh, the Avil sits at the head. So there's a certain surah of Nichum Avelim, and that surah can only exist in person. So he thinks that there's no kiyum at all of Nichum Avelim by telephone because you're lacking that surah of Nichum Avelim. So he doesn't think you're Yotze at all. And Rabbi Karp raises the question, maybe there's no chiv of Nichum Avelim at all if you're not local. Maybe there's no requirement to travel a long distance to be Menachem Avel. So maybe the chiv only exists if you're within, he doesn't really define the parameters, but if you're in another city, you're at a distance, so maybe there's no chiv of Nichum Avelim at all. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Kaddish. So the Ramah in Simen Shinayin Vav Sif Dalid notes the minog of a son reciting Kaddish on the behalf of a parent. Benagu. Second. A nimsa b'midrash eslomer kaddish alav. So what we find in Medrash a practice of reciting Kaddish over a father. And that's the minhag of reciting Kaddish for Yud Beis Chodesh al Aviv v'Ima. So this Chazal, or the reference to Midrashim, that's quoted in the Or Zeruah Hilchos Shabbos Siman Nun, Or Zeruah Hilchos Shabbos Siman Nun, that tells the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, who saw a very decrepit looking person. And who was doing backbreaking labor. Rabbi Akiva asked him, why are you doing this? And he said that he sent every day, he had passed away, he sent every day to do this this work. And the way out of it would be for his son to say Baruch Hu in his stead or Kaddish in his stead. And, or to his benefit. So that's the source of reciting Kaddish on behalf of a deceased parent during Yud Beis Chodesh. Rabbi Elia Gutmacher has a Sefer Sukkah Shalom. The Sefer Sukkah Shalom of Rabbi Elia Gutmacher is devoted to the topic of what to do to affect an Ili Neshama on behalf of a deceased parent. So he outlines that there are various levels that a son can do on behalf of a parent, and Kaddish is the minimal. That for people who aren't capable of doing more, Kaddish was for the people that that can't do any better. But better than saying Kaddish is davening for Namet. Davening for Namet, there are more Kaddishim that's leading the tzibur. So better to daven, if you're capable of davening for Namet, better to daven for Namet than to the recite Kaddish. And better than davening for an amid is dedicating a mitzvah specifically for the schus of the nifter. And better than designating a mitzvah for the schus for the nifter is to engage in Talmud Torah the schus of the nifter. And better than Talmud Torah is to do Talmud Torah Barabim, to give shiur. And better than Talmud Torah Barabim is to be mekasher laila v'yom the Talmud Torah to give a shiur be mincha mariv and is the schus for the nifter. So a kaddish is the baseline, the minimal amount that a person can do as a schus for the parent. Chubas Ma'arik, Simon Lamed, discusses reciting Kaddish by a grandson. He writes that even if there's no son to recite Kaddish on behalf of a deceased, so then the grandson recites Kaddish. Just in terms of the order of Kaddishim, that when you divvy up the Kaddishim, so, or for that matter, the equivalent divvying up a davening for an amud, so someone who's reciting Kaddish for a parent has Kedima for more Kaddishes than someone reciting Kaddish for a grandparent, but the person reciting Kaddish for a grandparent has some Zechuyas as well. And that's reflected in the Chuvas Harma as well. Chuvas Harma Simin Kuf Yud Ches, Chuvas Harma Simin Kuf Yud Ches, quoted in Piskei Tshuva, Sif Katan Zayin in Shin Ayin Vav. You take a look at the Piskei Tshuva in Sifkat and Zayin. Piskei Tshuva writes, "Ayin berhetu shel marit b'shem Tshuva sarama. Yim ein la ben, why li ten kaddish the ben beno? That if there's no son or there's no surviving son, or a person only had daughters, so then you should give kaddish to the son's son. Achshar avelim yomer beis kaddish mehu kaddish echad. But if you're going to divide the kaddishes, so it's a 2-to-1 ratio. If there's one avel for the who's saying Kaddish for a parent and someone else saying Kaddish for grandparents, so the person saying Kaddish for a parent gets two Kaddishes and the person saying Kaddish for a grandparent gets one Kaddish. Piskei Tshuva in Simon Shin Dalet Mem Sifkatan Aleph, Shin Dalet Mem Sifkatan Aleph, quotes on the Sefer Evan Shoam, that if a person tells his son not to recite Kaddish, you listen to him, meaning Kaddish is for the schus of the nifter. And if the person before he dies says to his son, don't say Kaddish, so the son doesn't have to say Kaddish, the son should listen to the parent. However, the Rabbi Carr points out that if you look at the Evan Shoam inside, that's not what he says. The Evan Shoam says that you don't listen to the parent. The parent says, don't we say Kaddish to me, you should not listen to the parent. Rabbi Carr explains that it's a mitzvah on the son. It's not up to the father. that the son has a mitzvah to a zaygadish, even if the father doesn't want him to. That's not for the father to be mochala. Okay. Then the Rama says that the minhag is to recite Kaddish for 11 months, not for the full 12 months, not to be machzik the nifter as a Rasha, because we have the tradition that Mishpat Rasha Gehenna Mitzvah Beis Kodesh, that Rishon and Nidonim in Gehenna for 12 months. So if you're going to recite Kaddish for 12 months, you may give the impression that you think the nifter is in Gehenna. And that's based on our real Simon Kuf base. Basically, Shuva causes if Katan Dalit, let's say you Taka know that he's a Rasha. So if you know that the Nifter is a Rasha, then you should recite Kaddish for your Beis Kodesh because you have a pretty good idea that he probably isn't Gehenna. Okay. The Darkei Moshe in Simon Shin Ayin Vav Oath Tess. Darkei Moshe Oath Tess. He quotes from Mardach. One second. Because of the Maril, sorry. In terms of Seder Kadima for Kaddish, that even if you have a guest, that a guest has the same status as B'nai Yair for Kaddish, so you can't exclude non-members. And then he quotes the Agur B'Shem, the Maril, but that depends on the minhag. So sometimes, depending on the minhag, the members could claim preference over the non-members as far as reciting Kaddish. Okay, so despite the Rama's comment that the practice is only to recite Kaddish for 11 months and not for 12 months, some of the practice of reciting Kaddish for more than 11 months, just less than 12 months. So Rabbi Karp quotes from the Shiari Knesset Lagadola that he says, or he quotes the practice of reciting Kaddish for 12 months minus 1 week. So as long as you don't recite it for the entire 12 months, and then you don't give the impression that you're suggesting the nifters in Gehenna. As long as it's less than 12 full months, and that's okay. And he quotes that the Ksav Sofer said Kaddish the entire 12 months for his father, and that was the Tzavah of the Chasson Sofer, and that was the Tzavah of Shlomo Kluger to his sons to recite Kaddish for the entire 12 months. Rav Avadia writes that his practice was to stop reciting Kaddish for the first week of the 12th month, and then to continue for the rest of the 12th month. And some of the practice, even if they don't recite Kaddish for the 12th month, but they still daven for an Amud, or at least if there's no other Chiyuv within the first 11 months, so then an Avil would daven, may daven for an Amud during the 12th month, even if he stops reciting Kaddish. And some Achronim say that even if you don't recite Kaddish during the 12th month, but maybe Kaddish Darabanan you should recite, if Avadia writes, or Rabbi Felder writes that. Okay. There's some discussion as to the Chatzi Kaddish Acher Kriyas HaTorah. So Rabbi Karp quotes the Machlokas HaPoskim is Hashayach to the Avel, is Hashayach to the Baal Kore. So Rabbi Avadia thinks it's Hashayach to the Avel. Rabbi Shechter thinks it's Hashayach to the Baal Kore. I think most Ashkenazi Poskim assume it's Hashayach to the Baal Kore, but Rabbi Karp quotes some who thought it was Hashayach even among contemporary Ashkenazi Gedolim in the last generation who thought it was Shayach to the Aval and not to the Baal Kore. Okay. So it's clear from the earlier Ashkenazi, or the late Ashkenazi Rishonim quoted by the Ramah in Dark Emotion, reflected by the Ramah here on Shulchan Aruch, as well as the earlier Achronim, that the longstanding minug in Ashkenazi Kehilos was that only one person recited Kaddish at a time, only one Avil recited Kaddish at a time. And that's what the Chasam Sofer explains in Simen Kuf Nun Tes, that the point of Kaddish is that the person reciting Kaddish, the other reciting Kaddish, is the Sarsor. He's the middleman on behalf of the Tzibor. So it's like he's standing in for the Chazan. You know, normally the Chazan recites Kaddish, and he's the Avil standing in for the Chazan to recite Kaddish. But if multiple people are going to recite Kaddish at the same time, so then there's no Sarsor, there's no middleman. Only one person is a real Sarsor, and everyone is a Messiah. She'ein bo mamish. And he leaves with a question on what the Yaivitz writes in the Siddur, the Yaakov Emden in the Siddur writes, that he found, he looked favorably upon the practice of Sfardim that would recite the Avelim, would recite Kaddish in unison, and not only one at a time. Binyan Tzion writes, true as Binyan Tzion, Simon Kuf Kaveis, that the reason that it was okay for the Sfardim to recite Kaddish in unison is that the Sfardim were very disciplined in all davening word for word all the time. So if the Sfardim would recite Kaddish in unison, so it would be a clear Kaddish that every word would be recited together word by word, and everyone could hear it very clearly. But by Ashkenazim, we have no such tradition of davening word by word. So if multiple people are reciting Kaddish at the same time, one person is a few words ahead, one person is a few words behind. There's no... It's a cacophony and not a and there's no clear unity in recitation. But be that as it may, it seems clear that the minhag Ashkenaz for centuries was that only one person recites Kaddish at a time, and that changed. I gave a shiur a few weeks ago on the topic of pandemic and wartime related kulos that stuck afterwards. So the most salient example of that is the recitation of Kaddish by people in unison during the time of Rebbe Kivager and the cholera epidemic, or one of the cholera epidemics that took place during Rebbe Kivager's lifetime. So a couple of generations, a couple decades before that, what seems to be the, or one of the earliest references to a practice of reciting Kaddish in unison in an Ashkenazi Kehila, as quoted by the Piskei Shuvah Sukkot in Zion here. Piskei Shuvah Sukkot in Zion quotes from the Chuvas Divrei Igeres. Divrei Igeres in Zion. The Divrei Igeres was Rabbi Mendel Steinhardt, who was a Rav in Westphalia. Printed, the Chuvas were printed in 1812. So that was about 20 years before the Rebbe Kivager episode that we're going to talk about. So he references that in his Kehila, in Westphalia, it sounds like he instituted this practice of reciting Kaddish in unison, and he thought it was great because it eliminated machlokes. But the way he presents it, there were people that were opposed to it and thought that this was a inappropriate innovation in the liturgy. But that's kind of the exception that proves the rule, that this was an innovation and was not the standard practice in among most of Ashkenazic Jewry at that time. I think someone, I saw a blog somewhere of someone who writes about Minhag Ashkenaz or the authentic Minhag Ashkenaz, that this practice in Westphalia was somehow influenced by Napoleon, and the kind of the spirit of equality that the Napoleon was pushing, and that led to this practice in this community in Westphalia. Be that as it may, so famously, Rebbe Kivager, I think it was 1832, in response to the high number of fatalities from the cholera epidemic in his time, instituted in his kehila that people for the next year should recite Kaddish in unison, and not one by one because there weren't enough cottages to go around otherwise. There is a, where did it go here? Someone came out with a sefer very recently, a collection. It was entitled Botid Bakun. Someone collected all of the Ksavim and Tshuvas and literature from Rabbi Akiva Eiger in his response to the cholera epidemic. So this is one of the things included there, that he made such a takana for his kehila at the time. Now, one second. So he wrote, where'd it go? Just give me a second. I think I left the safe in another room. Be right back. Here it is, new fancy safe with a fancy cover. So he wrote, this is printed in the Pinkus of the Shul in Posen, printed in Psalm at the Concert of Eger Simon Ches. So he writes, the Chodesh Av Shnas Tav Kuf Tzadi Aleph, 1831. Shechel Anegath Po Beir Hakot Babanasena Rabbi Macholi Cholera. Hayu Harbe Avelim Lamiris Kadesh Vitikanti Shavelim Yomer Biachad Kadeshim Beko Haya Meshach Shana Tmima. So he's misakein that the Avelim should recite Kadesh in unison that lasted for a year. Ukechlos Hashana Brash Chodesh Av Tav Kuf Tzadi Beis. 1 year later, in the summer of 1832. That he put an end to that practice. Except for one Kaddish a day, which he called the Tfila Kaddish. So he left a single Kaddish after Shacharis that all the Avelim could recite in unison. That way, even if there weren't enough Kaddishes to go around, at least every Avil could recite at least one Kaddish, so they left one Kaddish together in unison. So the compiler of this Sefer, Botid Bakun, asks, why do you go back a year later? You know, people were dying for a year in this epidemic, even after they stopped dying, but aren't there still Avelim who have another Yud-Beis Chodesh to complete their Avelis? So why did he go back to the original minhag after a year? Should have waited, if the epidemic let up in summer 1832, he should have kept the takana till summer 1833. So the people who had niftarim up to that point would have their full year of Kaddish. He says, apparently, excuse me, apparently, the Akiva Eiger's main concern was the Kaddish during Shloshim. That everyone should be able to recite a Kaddish during Shloshim. So that once a month went by where there are no more Petiras, then it was comfortable going back to the original minhag, because at that point, everybody who lost someone to cholera was already past Shloshim. So he went back to the original minhag, but not entirely. He preserved a single Kaddish in unison, which had not been the minhag, before. But it seems that once the cat was out of the bag, so to speak, it didn't go back. Meaning, this practice of reciting Kaddish in unison spread. And even though Rabbi Akiva Eiger said that he went back to the original minhag 90% except for one Kaddish, but this spread to many other kehilos. And in what seems to be relatively short order, became much more prevalent in many areas populated by Ashkenazic Jewry. Akadei Kach, that the Aruch HaShulchan, writing 50, 60, 70 years later, writes that the simple minhag that everyone said Kaddish together. So this, the original Shas at Kach situation of Rabbi Akiva Eiger seemed to change more permanently for many sectors of Ashkenazi Jewry what the practice was as far as recitation of Kaddish. But the Achronim say that even if you are going to recite Kaddish in unison, you should be careful that it be done in unison, that the people reciting Kaddish should be sitting or standing in close proximity to each other, such that everyone says the words together, and it's not disjointed. That's what Rabbi Karp writes, that's what the Baal Shulchan writes, that's what Rosh Sternbach writes, that it's appropriate if you're going to recite Kaddish together that everybody should be standing in close proximity. Rabbi Tabus wrote a nice article in a Beis Yitzchak probably about 20 years ago outlining the literature, or summarizing the literature on this topic of reciting Kaddish in unison versus versus individually. There's an interesting comment of the Emek Bracha. Emek Bracha in Aninus Vavelus Oschess. So usually we assume, so the whole Seder Kedima, the Magen Avraham Seder Kedima referenced in the Ramah. So in the old Minhag Ashkenaz, that was relevant to recitation of Kaddish, who gets which Kaddish. So in a community where the practice is that people recite Kaddish in unison, for better or worse, that becomes distilled to who davens for an amid, Seder Kedima for davening for an amid. So we usually assume, or most assume, that you shouldn't get into a fight over who's going to daven for an amid, who's going to recite Kaddish. That if you're concerned about doing something le'ilu nishmas nifter, so getting to fight over who's going to daven for an amid is not helping the nifter. Better to be mevater and not get into any fight, especially if you assume, like we quoted from Eli Gumacher, that Kaddish and even daven for an amid is the lower rung about what to do for an eloi for the neshama. There are other things that are more effective. But interestingly, the Emek Bracha writes that that's not necessarily a correct mindset. Because davening for an amid, reciting Kaddish, have certain skulos that are unique skulos that are for that affect the tikkun for the neshama of the nifter. So who are you to be mevater and that which could affect the tikkun on the neshama for the nifter? It's not, you're not the bialim to be a mevater in that. So if magia lacha al pidin to kedima for the amud, if in the standard seder kedimos that is what's magia to you. So who are you to be mevater? So most assume not the way. Most assume that it's still better to be mevater, and that still is what is for the better benefit of the nifter. But that's an interesting comment to the Emek Bracha that says that you're not the bialim. I think Rav Schechter tells a story. I think he has this in Nefesh Harav that someone there was a fight in the shul of the Shagas Aryeh about Seder Kedima, who would have Kedima for saying a Kaddish. And they went to the Shagas Aryeh and said, how should we resolve this? So he said, draw straws. And they asked the Shagas Aryeh, but isn't there a whole Seder Kedima in the Magen Avraham? There's literature, what do you mean draw straws? The Shagas Aryeh said, and how do you think the Magen Avraham figured out the Seder Kedima? Be that as it may, I think we generally assume, Nali Deimer Bracha, that better not to get into fights, even if technically speaking, there is a Seder Kedima. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Yeah, Moshe.
Just a question. Whether Kaddish is Kavod HaMeis or for the Ben, right. Either way, there's no, like, the comparison to, like, Chazaris to Shas is just strange because Bechor, not everyone has a Chiyuv in that Kaddish. So, like, you're not trying to be Moti the Rabbim. Everyone's either just taking care of their obligation or their parents' obligation. So then, like, there's no being motivated to tzibor in that. So why would there be a minhag, or the mainstream Ashkenaz of old, that only one person say it?
So that's what the Chazon Sofer says, that you are being motzi on something. Someone's reciting kaddish and everyone else is answering. So that's keilu, you're the shliach sibur for kaddish.
But I'm saying that makes the shliach sibur for kaddish doesn't. Like, why would there be an element of shliach sibur for kaddish? I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, it should be much more like a personal thing that a person has to do b'tzibur. Like,
why is that different than the kaddish that a regular kaddish diskabo? It's part of the Seder Tefillah. It's a Kaddish in the Seder Tefillah. So both of the Kaddishes are recited by the Shliach Tzibur. And some Kaddishes we parcel out to other people to lead.
If there were no Avelim, would you say the Kaddish?
So that's what, according to many, the seven Kaddishes that you're supposed to recite a day, referenced by the Ramah in the beginning of Aruch Hayim, includes at least one Kaddish Asa. So that's a practice of many, that even if there's no avil, that you should recite a Kaddish Yasam at least at the end of Shacharis, maybe after Mincha. Shachter thinks that every tefillah should end with the Kaddish Yasam even if there's no avil from the Rav, and that's the practice in our Beis Medrash, that someone should recite a Kaddish Yasam if someone can after every tefillah, even if there's no avil. That's that issue. According to many, the simple understanding of the Ramah is that at least for Shacharis and Mincha, that is one of the Zayin Kadeshim. So you always decide to Kaddish Yasam even if it's no Avo. Okay. So I'm sorry that we didn't get to Gadol Habayis and we kind of gave short shift to Avelis and Yontif and some of the other topics, but I hope that we have more or less covered the more Lamaisa topics in Avelis at least adequately enough. But we didn't discuss Avelis for non-religious relatives, which is an important topic. We can do another shiur on that at some point if you want. That's up to you. Was that a yes or?
Is Rabbi have one on that one?
I'm sorry?
Does Rabbi have a shiur on that from the last time Rabbi did a business?
I didn't do a shiur on that in this miscarriage. I think I did speak about that somewhere else. I could look. I think I gave a shiur about that somewhere else. So I could send you a link. We could do it that way. How's that? It won't be on the Bechina, but I'll send you a link. Let me just check. I believe I have that.